Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Paul Enos and I will talk renewable energy with Paul Thompson. He's the public policy manager with Ormat Technologies. And what a power pundit panel today. Larry Mathias, Robert Eithoven, Marlene Lockhart, and Mike Bosma. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
When it comes to delivering energy, a lot happens behind the scenes. Energy generates thousands of megawatts of energy and moves it along miles and miles of transmission and distribution lines to Nevada homes and businesses. So when you flip a switch or push a button, there are no surprises.
Business deserve the absolute best in workers' compensation? You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Paul Thompson. He is the public policy manager with Ormat Technologies, specialist in geothermal. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're having your big convention in Reno this week?
We are actually next week.
Next week, okay.
September 30th through October 3rd.
And you would probably know that better than me. Apparently.
If it's this week, it's going to be very shocking.
All right, so let's talk about it, because you were here a year ago about the same time. Right. And everything was looking bright and cheery, but there's been a lot of developments in energy over the last year. We've seen this increase in fracking and an abundance now of oil in the country. The price of natural gas has dropped through the floor. How is this affecting the geothermal business?
Well, it takes us about 5 to 7 years to develop a project, and so we're kind of insulated, if you will, from the immediate political situations you just brought up. We brought on, I think, three out of the five geothermal projects that came online last year were in Nevada. And more recently, we just brought online the McGinnis Hills project, which is in Austin, Nevada. So we're very excited, and we're still seeing projects be developed in Nevada from work that was started years ago. But the issues you brought up are interesting, because they're really making us evaluate the procurement process in California and Nevada, because what we don't want to see happen is a dearth in projects 4 or 5 years from now. So really the work I'm doing and others in the policy sector is to make sure we can still get contracts and develop projects into 2015, 2016, etc.
Okay, well, are you having problems getting purchase power agreements from California? Because the governor, Jerry Brown, says that he wants California to be a net exporter of renewable energy. Harry Reid says that's laughable. But what do you feel about that?
We've never not been able to get a contract. But when we start looking kind of into the future, we're seeing some issues with evaluation. And what I mean by that is California really values time of day use. So if you can provide power during the peak time of day, you get a real bonus or adder to that. Geothermal is unique in the fact that we provide this power 24 hours a day, and we actually get kind of penalized for that. So we're able to get contracts. What we're really working on is, can we get the valuation up to make them even more economical so that we don't need as many incentives, and really get the value of our product, which is very unique. We're calling it firm and flexible. And every technology can claim to be flexible by turning the power down. But wind and solar are kind of, you know, dependent on the sun
wind. Needs to shine or the wind needs to blow.
There you go. And we can provide that flexibility firmly by providing changes in power all the time.
And that's base load power.
There
so
you go.
Absolutely, it's not just peak time, like you said, 24/7. Now let's talk about why Nevada is so uniquely situated. Geothermal can't be done everywhere. But Nevada, 3 out of 5 of the projects that were done in Nevada. What makes us different than other regions in the United States?
Well, you know, it's really geology. I mean, I think the basin and range has brought a lot of these resources close to the surface, and has allowed development. We've also got a very aggressive utility that's helped us sign contracts and get these projects moving forward.
This is NV Energy.
This is NV Energy, who's been hugely helpful in that regard. And I think that's it. I mean, there are other geologically active places, California, Alaska, and we're looking at projects there. But it's just, you know, the time is right here in Nevada, and it's really become the business center for the geothermal industry. I think because of Ormat's location here, being the largest geothermal developer, we have, I think, 8 other developers in the city of Reno. So we're starting to see, you know, academics come here, science and research, R&D projects. Through the DOE geothermal program, I think there's been $50 to $60 million worth of research coming into this area. So that's why we're really seeing a focus on this area.
When you look at the cost of conventional coal and natural gas, and then you look at the cost of the renewable of wind and solar, where does geothermal fall in that matrix?
You know, we're actually more cost competitive than all of those you just named. Coal being, it's very hard to get your trains into the Powder River Basin, and you have to pay a premium for that. The biggest competitor we have today is natural gas. And those natural gas prices, which are so low, the difference is natural gas prices obviously change very quickly. You know, we're about that time of the year where, what is it, 10 years ago we had Katrina. Natural gas prices are very fickle. 7 years ago, thank you. Geothermal, our prices don't change. And so when you look at that kind of time value of money, we would argue our competitiveness, but we have to realize that you have to find a balance between, I think, a natural gas, the low cost of natural gas, and geothermal development.
And doesn't it concern you that, you know, we're looking at a point where we're going to be exporting natural gas because there's so much of it and it's so cheap?
Who's going to be exporting?
The United States. Yeah, absolutely.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. You know, we've been doing work in Alaska and seeing the LNG facilities try to reverse themselves so they can do export. And as soon as natural gas goes on the world market, you know, these days of super cheap $3 per million BTU are going to be over. And that's one of that's one of the unique
where
things.
Where do you think they're going to go?
Where are they going to go?
Yeah, I mean,
to the highest bidder. So
right, but I mean,
Japan, countries desperately in need to replace fleet and things.
Specifically in terms of cost to the United States, you know, if we're exporting this and the prices are going to go up, where do you think they're going to go?
Oh, how high are they going to go?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, they're going to go up from 3 real fast. I can't begin to target where the roof will
be. Isn't a lot of the world already running on natural gas? So, I mean, you go into Singapore, you go to Korea, you go to a lot of places in Asia, they already have fleets that are running off of natural gas and propane. And, I mean, they've... You know, it's not just diesel there anymore.
It's actually, you know, in the emerging markets, we see a lot of coal and a lot of diesel. And so natural gas is very appealing to them. And if they're willing to pay, you know, $4 to $5 per million BTU, all of a sudden it becomes very, you know, our natural gas industry, I don't think, can sustain at the current prices in the United States.
Right.
So they're looking for export. This is what's unique about renewables and geothermals. You have a domestic supply that we cannot export. Until they make a ship, you know, called the USS Duracell, we're beholden to the markets that we're in.
Okay.
And that's huge. That's a huge, you know, point for folks to consider, which is we'll always be confined to working in the market we're going to be in. So you shouldn't see a huge, you know, upward pressure on renewable prices, you know, into the future, especially in geothermal.
All right, let's take a break more with Paul Thompson, and we'll explore this USS Duracell when we come back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining creates opportunities. Since 1860, mining has evolved into a cleaner, safer industry. Mining is millions of dollars in environmental protection and wildlife conservation, reclaiming the land for recreation, like fishing, camping, and hiking. Mining is research and education at the University of Nevada, where careers are born. Visit our website and learn more.
Mark your calendars for Senior Fest, September 4th, Reno Town Mall. Health screenings from Renown Health, food tastings, free parking at the Atlantis, and resource information. Plenty of big band music, a barbershop quartet, and a sneak preview of the Eldorado's Jersey Knights celebrating the four seasons. It's your day. That's Senior Fest, September 4th, 9 to 2, Reno Town Mall. Call 348-0717. Senior Fest is brought to you by these fine sponsors.
This segment is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. So much depends on trucks. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Paul Thompson. He's the public policy manager with Ormat Technologies, specializing in geothermal energy. We've seen over the last couple of months now, Senator Reid putting a tremendous amount of pressure on NV Energy to put together a purchase power agreement with ENN for the solar facility down in southern Nevada. Now, with NV Energy having a lot of contracts with you guys, do you have concerns that in 2014, when new contracts come up, that you might be pushed aside in favor of this giant concern that's going on down near Laughlin?
Great question. We're not concerned. The utility has filed its kind of plans. We call it the Integrated Resource Plan with the Public Utilities Commission of Nevada. And they've really said that they're kind of full. They've achieved their RPS goals, right, and they're going to start looking for contracts into the 2015-2016 time period. There is a solar carve-out, which makes room for potential projects like this. And the cost competitiveness has always given, I think, geothermal an advantage. And we're going to continue to look for opportunities to supply, really cost-effective power to meet the RPS. And we're really not concerned about the competition. We'll see kind of how that pressure applies to them, but we're going to continue to look to develop projects here. What's also unique is that we have this big market in California, and if we can't get contracts with NV Energy, we're going to continue to look to export power as well to California, which is really in the best interest of ratepayers, because now they're just getting wheeling fees and economic development and not having to worry about potential rate shocks and things like that.
Is there enough distribution available to you, transmission lines?
That's a big contested issue at the moment, which is the completion of the Nevada One line, which connects northern Nevada to the south, and there have been some delays along there, but we're confident that will get done by the end of this year, allowing projects to still come online and meet the production tax credit, and that really opens a corridor into the Las Vegas market, which the Meade substation is the end-all be-all, if you will, for exporting power to all of the California utilities.
Oh, okay, so that's
once you can get down south, you can start moving it pretty quickly.
So, Paul, you talk about 5 to 7 years to develop a geothermal project. What is the life cycle on a geothermal plant?
We have projects that are still operating that were built in 1983. The biggest impact we've had is technical obsolescence, which is our power plant that we built in 1983. When we go to replace parts for it, it's very hard. And we've started, diverting that brine or geothermal fluid into newer, more efficient power plants that get more power for the same amount of brine. But the resource, if we manage it properly, is into perpetuity.
Now, when you talk about managing that properly, is it recharging the wells, of putting water back down into the ground after you?
One of the unique things Ormat did when we came, we brought this technology called Binary. And what that does is we use the hot water to heat a secondary working fluid. Why this is advantageous is it allows us to re-inject the geothermal fluid 100% of it back into the reservoir to be reheated and reused.
How long does it take to reheat?
Depends on the resource and depends on the size of power plant, because when I say management, all we're doing is the heat is in the mantle. We're using the water to take that heat from depth and bring it to the surface. If we move the water too quickly, it doesn't have enough time to fully heat up. And if we leave it down there too long, we're not, you know, maximizing our return. So this is where we have reservoir engineers and things trying to figure out how quickly can we pump this water through the reservoir to maintain its temperature. But we have to have a symbiotic relationship, because if we start to lose temperature, our power plants produce less power.
There's been talk about fracking. Now, we talk about fracking, you know, for shale and natural gas, but I mean, it's also a technology that has been, I don't think it's been employed for geothermal. It's just more of a theory.
We have R&D looking at what we call enhanced geothermal systems that use a type of fracking. And actually, Nevada is at the forefront of this technology. We have two projects out near Fernley called Brady's and Desert Hot Springs, which we're looking at, can you take an existing well in a geothermal reservoir, frack it, if you will. You put pressure, water in it, you build pressure, and you hope to create connectivity to the reservoir that it didn't have before. What's very different, I think, about the geothermal industry from what we're hearing about the oil and gas industry is, A, we're doing it at much deeper depths, and we're not surrounded by oil and gas reservoirs. The concern with fracking back east is if you frack and you create this connectivity to a water reservoir or something, you might have oil and gas seeping into it. We're in places where we have no oil and gas. We're really looking for hot water, and maybe places where there isn't hot water. We're at the forefront of this, and I think the second biggest issue is there's not as much pressure. You know, a barrel of water for us is worth about 7 cents. It's not $98 or $102, whichever the oil and gas industry is. So we're not in a rush to prove this technology. The DOE has set forth protocols to develop it, and we're really what we call in the R&D phase. We don't think EGS will become a viable geothermal technology for probably 7 to 10 years.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Come back soon. So much more to talk about.
Great.
All right, we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Class is carrying a heavy load in America, but Mitt Romney doesn't see it. Under the Romney plan, a middle-class family will pay an average of up to $2,000 more a year in taxes, while at the same time giving multimillionaires like himself a $250,000 tax cut. So, Romney hits the middle class harder and gives millionaires an even bigger break. Is that the way forward for America?
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
It's a promise that was made long ago. You work hard, pay in, your Medicare benefits are guaranteed. But Mitt Romney would break that promise, replace your benefits with a voucher. Insurance companies could just keep raising rates. Instead of a guarantee, seniors could pay $6,400 more a year. AARP says the plan Mitt Romney supports undermines Medicare. Mitt Romney, an end to the Medicare promise.
Why are people smiling all over the city of Reno? It's because they've discovered Absolute Dental's affordable quality. Absolute Dental will help you and your family get the whiter, straighter, and healthier smiles you've all been looking for. And it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. We're here to work out a way to make it affordable so you'll never have to put off taking care of your teeth again. Now that's something to smile about. Just go to any Absolute Dental location right now or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
It's late. Time to go home.
No, we found new evidence in Kevin Miller's disability case. His rehab specialist is willing to testify. The hearing's in the morning.
Good luck. You need anything?
No, all I need is to get this case before the judge.
Disability claims. Does anybody really care about you? At David Allen & Associates, we do. We've been helping disabled people for over 30 years. David Allen & Associates. Talk to the right people. I'm David Allen.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, this may be the only chance I have to talk during the segment here. We have a great power panel. Robert Eidhoven is here with Colasaran Latham, Government Affairs, just back from the Republican Convention. Marlene Lockhart, Government Affairs. Larry Mathias, Executive Director of the Nevada State Medical Association. And Mike Bosma, the host of Bosma on Business on KKOH Radio. You know, it was interesting. Don Imus said a while back that, and he's a conservative, but he said if the president comes out and says that, you know, he got Osama bin Laden and he can sing like Al Green, it's all over. Your thoughts on this?
I think it's very difficult to beat an incumbent president. There's a new poll this morning that said the Republicans, you know, they're starting to ask the question more and more, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? 40% said yes, 52% said no. That's a pretty startling number for the president. That'll be tough to overcome. But That's true. We'll see how the convention goes. I think what's more interesting to watch is the end of the week, the new unemployment numbers will come out. So if the president has a good week at his convention, as he should, as you would anticipate he would, it could be dampened by those numbers.
It didn't seem that there was a huge bump at the end of the Republican convention.
You know, I think that everyone's pretty much made up their mind. You have one camp, you have the other camp. There's this very narrow sliver of folks left. And I think, and I'm not sure you'll see a big bump out of the Democratic convention either because of that. It'll be interesting to see. And again, like Robert said, if the numbers are tough, that's going to be tough for the president. I think this is going to be very close.
You know, it's interesting with the hurricane making a split screen at the convention. It seemed like quite a bit of steam was taken away. And then the Clint Eastwood moment.
Yes, don't try to become a comedian late in your career, I think is the rule of thumb.
Never talk to a chair, I think, is the other rule.
No, actually, that's an old comedy shtick. goes back to Bob Newhart and the button-down mind thing. I mean, talking to somebody that's not there and carrying on both ends of the conversation can be very amusing.
In this
Mr.
instance,
Eastwood is a wonderful director, a good actor, and not really a comedian.
To say the least. Mike, your perspective.
Well, I think the undecided middle isn't really even engaged in this thing yet. I think it's going to take another month or so.
How big is that?
I think it's about anywhere from 2 to 4%, and I think that's going to be the deciding vote. I agree. The polar ends have already decided they're going to vote the way they're going to decide, but that middle, call it 4%. And I think as people really start to pay attention to this thing, it's going to swing significantly, really against the incumbent because of the mess we're in.
And it, you know, when you look at that number in polling data, there is, it's a very small number of people who identify themselves as undecided. It is a larger number of people who say that they're willing to change their mind. So different things, you know, what will happen between Israel and Iran, I think could be important. And I think there might be something that occurs between now and Election Day there. So I think...
Wouldn't that help Obama?
Possibly. It depends what the U.S. involvement is. So, and how the rest of the, you know, the Arab League, those nations, how they respond in that situation. It could get messy really fast, but then again...
What do you think about the effect of the Hispanic community in the Republican Party? It seems like there's still
an awful lot of work to be done. I think the Republicans are doing a good job, and they're trying much harder. I think it's all based on policy. And the president promised immigration reform in his first year. He hasn't had any. The president hasn't. He'll be the first president in American history to not sign a budget. So I think there's a lot. I think the Republicans have a lot of work to do on the appealing to the Hispanic vote. But that's driven by policy. And right now, you're not going to get a Democratic president to sign a Republican immigration bill.
Marlene?
Well,
or
I
any
did,
other bill, by the way.
Or any other bill.
Or anything else.
Well, or even introduce a bill. He hasn't even introduced anything.
Yeah, the Republicans have made it clear they're not going to let anything significant develop for President Obama. There is nothing that will happen till after the election.
Right.
And I think that's clear, and I think it's shameful that they have put politics ahead of what's good for this country in such a... a very important time for us with the economics being what they're being.
But the president put his golf game in front of what's important
for
the country.
Oh, come on. I mean, so let's not. That is so petty.
Missing an action.
Hang on, one at a time. Finish up, Marlene.
You know, you want to compare golf, tree clearing, different vacations in Texas, Ronald Reagan on his. That is just ridiculous. Every president has whatever they do to relieve the stress.
There's been no leadership, though, out of the White House.
Right.
You know that's true. I mean, there's been a major leadership vacuum.
No.
He hasn't led on anything. Anything.
Well, I think health care reform would be one thing.
Harry Reid had to push that bill through.
But if your name is on the door and you're the president and you have a signature accomplishment that gets passed by the Supreme Court, I think that...
He let Nancy Pelosi write the stimulus bill. He had Harry Reid push through the health care bill. The president has not led on anything.
I do think that one of the things that's coming more and more into focus is what a waste of time and energy and money the conventions are. I think that because they're just these 3 or 4 day public relations things. They should probably pay for them the way the Olympics, you know, do. We'll get a negotiated deal with the Republicans, go on Fox, the Democrats go on MSNBC, and nobody has to watch either one of them.
Pay for the conventions. We talked about that very narrow sliver that's left. Look at all the campaign money that's being put in for 2 or 4%. It is, I think, the money in politics, and other than Sam and Channel 4 doing so well in the election years, it is shameless what's happening with money in politics.
Most of that campaign money is going to campaign consultants. And I think that the reason that it's a 24/7 experience these days is that there's been this huge influx of otherwise probably not employable people to keep the campaign cycle going. And we reward campaigning, we don't reward governing.
And
we're paying a high price for that as people.
Right, but election campaigns employ an awful lot of people. It is an industry in this country.
And they keep the sales department
very
busy at television stations.
And we are proud of it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Hi, I'm Brian Samudio with KRNV News 4.
And I'm Eric Laxton from Mercedes-Benz of Reno.
The TravelNevada.com Reno Air Races return to Reno September 12th through the 16th. It's the world's fastest motorsport.
Locally owned and operated, Mercedes-Benz of Reno is proud to sponsor News 4's coverage of the Reno Air Races.
It's 5 days of incredible racing action with speeds exceeding 500 miles an hour.
Catch all the excitement of the air races and experience our tremendous offers and exceptional service at Mercedes-Benz of Reno.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
It's a promise that was made long ago. You work hard, pay in, your Medicare benefits are guaranteed. But Mitt Romney would break that promise. Replace your benefits with a voucher. Insurance companies could just keep raising rates. Instead of a guarantee, seniors could pay $6,400 more a year. AARP says the plan Mitt Romney supports undermines Medicare. Mitt Romney, an end to the Medicare promise.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Gold Star Families of Nevada National Inc. was organized so family members could remember and honor their fallen loved ones who gave the ultimate sacrifice in the defense of our great nation. The goal of GSF of N is to erect a memorial on the state capitol grounds recognizing all Nevadans who gave that sacrifice. All funding by donations only. One way you can help is by purchasing a personalized engraved brick for the memorial walkway. For more information, go to goldstarfamiliesnevada.org.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, Danny Tarkanian will be here in a tough race against Stephen Horsfoot for CD4. See you on the next broadcast.